This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
A little nervous, but we don't have to use it.
Right? It's like the lowest stakes ever. just the absence of stakes. Should we give these people's names on the questions?
Yeah. I think we should make them up.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
This is my singing debut.
This is my love song.
It's recording?
Yeah.
If I were you, if I were you, if I were you, the show
starts now.
There we go.
That was awful.
Respect.
There it is. The first episode, May something or other, 2013. 8 years later.
Can you imagine?
Here we are, episode 500.
We peaked early.
I was thinking we would sound differently, like little boys, but I guess I was still like 29 years old, so it makes sense that I sounded relatively similar to what I sound now.
Right. I kind of had the exact same thought, but then I was like, oh yeah, I guess my voice hasn't changed since 2013. That tracks.
But it does change. Like at age 50, we'll sound differently. I assume a 50-year-old sounds different than a 25-year-old, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think it doesn't really change until you're like 80, and then you look like this.
Yeah. Like, so everyone sounds like they're 4 until they're 12, and then they sound like they're 20 until they're 90.
I actually sounded like this when I was 2.
Yeah.
My first word was mom. Mom. In that exact voice.
Yeah, you didn't want to waste any goo goo gaga, this, that, and the other. I just said, when I grow up, I want to be a paleontologist. That was my first sentence.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So what do you remember of that first memory lane style? What do you have cooking up there about our first record? Do you remember where it was?
I remember where it was. It was on Berry Street in the one-bedroom apartment that you had there.
Yep.
I remember the... Actually, it's funny because with all of the golden mic-ish, our first microphones were actually emerald and gold.
Yeah, I remember asking Jeff Rubin what he used to record on, and he gave me a suggestion, I think, of these microphones that I already forget. And fairly early on, we realized they were not great, and one of them just stopped working entirely. Remember when we were recording in Allison Williams' hotel room, and her microphone just wouldn't work anymore?
Mm, yeah. They looked good, though. They were photogenic
mics. They looked great, yeah.
They looked really good, yeah.
We should bring those back just for the style of them all.
The nostalgia factor, yeah. I do remember... I did a lot of research. I did a lot of research before... this recording, because it's so monumental. So I found the origin of this podcast.
Wow.
So the origin was an email from our agent. This is the one that I sent you. Do you want me to read part of it?
Wait, this is before we even started the podcast?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Let me, 1 second.
We should say, for those of you listening as a podcast right now, we're also live streaming this thing, so people can ask us questions, chime in live. We got a few hundred people watching as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see.
And yeah, just this is live.
Now you have to vamp because I can't find it.
And we have to just like make sure that everything is orderly and set up and organized so that we don't have to kill any time, waste any time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hear it. The email, the opening email, the origin story. And it goes a little something like this.
Hold on. It's tough to find.
It's tough to find. That's why, that's why you could have found it beforehand.
Well, the thing is, I sent it to you. I sent it to you. That's why
on me now.
It's on. Well, it would be in your inbox. I have to go through my fucking sent.
Yeah, and I know not you send close to 40 emails a minute because you also moonlight as a bot. That sort of sends spam from your email account. It's impossible to see.
It really does not make sense. Oh wait, no, here it is. I have it. It was part of another email.
Love that.
Okay.
Somebody, by the way, so Jared was, Oates just wrote in the chat. That's a turdy for Amir. For what?
Yeah.
How is that? For how not is that a turdy for me?
For not having that on hand. I sent it to you. I sent it to you, Blumenfeld. I sent it to you. Okay. You produced this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
It Tuesday, November 13th, 2012. Andrew Russell, shout out to Andrew.
Okay.
Why don't you and Amir have a podcast?
Great question.
That is November 12th. And I said, like of our videos or like a separate thing?
Because, yeah, at this point, you have no idea what a podcast is or something like that.
Yeah. And I think also in my research, I had found another, I searched the word podcast and I found the earliest time it was mentioned in my email. And one of them, we had just found out that, somebody had made a podcast, a video podcast of all of the Jake and Amir's, in order, and we found out it was a popular podcast.
Right.
When iTunes, it was just, but it wasn't, yeah, it was just our videos. Anyway, he writes back, separate thing that is not College Humor related at all. Podcasts in the comedy space are becoming huge. This is in 2012.
Wow.
Lots of no-name comics are starting to build on their podcasts.
And then he lists them all off.
Who the fuck is Mark Maron? And then he writes, the thing you guys did at Yeshiva University was funny. Just put that onto a podcast. It's perfect.
Right. Which was a Q&A that we did at a Jewish university in New York.
That's right.
Sometimes the organizer of an event was just a Jake and Amir fan and let's do an evening with Jake and Amir because that person wanted to meet us. And then the audience had no idea who we were. So it was a little lopsided in that way. But I guess he heard it and thought it was funny.
He thought this could be
a podcast.
And I write back, truth. Amir actually suggested this once. We do have a deep bench of people who would be awesome to interview.
Wow.
I think it's a matter of learning how the thing works, which Amir might already. I just emailed him and asked what he thought about doing it. I'll keep you posted. And I did forward this to you, and I wrote, podcast suggestion from Andrew Russell. Maybe it's time.
Wow.
And you didn't respond, but that's fine.
Okay. I remember one of the big fears was that, do we do it in character? Is it because people only knew us as these characters? The number one question you got asked is Amir really like that? I guess people thought it was almost a borderline documentary series. How could I, this dumbass, host a podcast? It makes no sense. Yeah. And it was weird.
We'd been on the internet forever. And I guess we had Tumblrs and stuff, but we didn't even really have there's no Instagram. There was not a lot of being ourselves out there in the world at all. It was all just
in character,
us playing dumb versions of ourselves. Us, yeah, all scripted.
Right.
So yeah, we didn't think that we could just be ourselves on a podcast.
And
that
then
was a bizarre idea.
And before we even came up with the advice idea, it was just, do we interview our friends? And you had the idea that it should be bad advice is the theme of the podcast, right?
Yes. So, and this is the other origin of the actual podcast.
Uh-huh.
An email that I wrote to myself, which I do sometimes as notes, with the subject line podcast. This is also in April of 2013. So a couple months after Andrew's idea.
Yeah.
April 2013. We must have been talking about doing a podcast in general, but not knowing what it was going to be. So I write podcast. The body of the email says advice like car talk, relationship advice. So that is the first, that's the inception of If I Were You.
Right, which is, you wanted it to be like a car talk radio show that you used to listen to, but those guys were experts.
Yeah. Right, but the thing I always loved about car talk was that I know nothing about cars. You didn't have to, because people would call in and they would ask them questions, they'd ask them car questions, but it was really just about getting the brothers click and clack to talk to each other and hearing them laugh and make each other laugh and like teasing their callers in and stuff.
Right.
So I was like, well, what can me and Amir wax about that's like car talk? What do we know about? And the answer was nothing. But I was like, I guess.
And that we're not experts at anything.
Yeah. Which is like, oh, so we could just give people bad life advice.
Yes. And that was the origin. So we just called it If I Were You, because then we can't be wrong when it's just talking about our opinions. This is just what we would do.
Yeah. And did you get that other email that I sent you, which is the first chat that you and I had?
Yes. But why don't you read that? Or should we read it back and forth like a script right now?
That's exactly what we should do.
Wow. Okay. So this is a Gmail, a GChat conversation. Remember those?
Yeah. A GChat conversation with you, April 29th. So it's like... a couple days after I, 3 days after I wrote myself that email.
Okay.
All right. So I'll start with me saying bad advice with Jake and Amir.
And then I said, my friend Rami, shout out to Rami, says there's already a podcast like that. And then I sent you a link to my brother and me, which I guess had already existed at the time and was very similar. Yeah. And I said, I don't know if it matters though.
And then I said, I thought you found one called Bad Advice.
And I said, yeah, there's one that like that too, but this one is more popular. And then I sent a clip of Jeff Rubin telling me that he had an idea to do an episode of his show where he had answers advice podcasts and columns from other people. So 1 week we're answering Dan Savage's letters. 1 week we're doing 17. 1 week we're answering questions from a religious podcast.
And I say, so we are guests giving advice on advice podcasts?
And I said, no, we take questions that people posed on different sites and podcasts and answer them ourselves.
And I say, oh, ha ha ha. I guess advice shows are not original in any way. Just calling one bad advice is copying.
Yes, exactly. And then I said, I guess there are hundreds of advice podcasts, so we would just need a creative hook like that.
And then I say... maybe we bill it as What I Would Do, What I Would Do Wednesday with Jake and Amir. That way we can be funny because What I Would Do is usually something dumb or crazy. And then we end by saying, maybe what you should do is blank.
Right. And then at a certain point, we start coming up with name ideas. If you scroll down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Instant domain search. Shout out the website we still use for finding square site domains.
That's right.
I write... ifimyou.com is available. Pretty good.
And I say, if I am?
If I apostrophe am you.
Excuse Bless me. You. I didn't sneeze in the chat. That was just sort of, yeah. And then I say, if I am you, if I'm you, if I were you.com are all available.
And I say, oh, and I say true, true.
And then I said, oddly enough, advicepodcast.com is available. Too boring?
Haha, that's nuts. And I think it is. Maybe that's why it's available.
Advice podcast. And I said, no human
is... in retrospect, we should have got it.
And then you say, maybe that's why it's available. And I said, haha, no human is that boring.
And then I say, if I were you podcast.
Oh, now we're getting real close. Too long? I say, what about What I Would Do show? That's also long. What about if podcast doc? I just blow by the recommendation that we end up using.
And I say, kind of nice. Maybe we should name the podcast first.
And I suggest podcrastinate.com. And we laugh.
So I guess we don't have a name for the podcast. We're trying to buy a domain first.
Yeah.
And then you write, ha ha ha, if I were you is pretty good.
There you go. And then I suggested also what I would do.
Yep. And then I say, I think I like if I were you.
And then I said, WWMED, what would Mises do instead of Jesus do? And then I said, if I were you show.com is available.
And I say, I like if I were you show.
All right. I told the idea to Rami. He likes it too. Look at us. Now we're really going.
Wow.
And then do you want to read your last, the last thing you said to me? Right before I say bad attitude?
No.
There.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of absolute course.
So there we have it. That was sort of the origin of coming up with the name. So as usual, you just like HeadGum, you came up with it.
Wow. I'm good at naming things, I guess.
That's why you won probably the first Golden Mic. It was based on the fact that you came up with the name idea. And then I got my brother to make the podcast art for it.
Yeah. Wow. And I think your brother was the first person that ever made art that looked like my face.
Yeah. You were hesitant at first because any art that we did for busted tees, for t-shirts, never looked like you when we went to make them.
Yeah, that's right. And it's funny because now in retrospect, I kind of think that the original Jake and Amir So Ace shirt did look like me at the time. I just gave everyone a hard time.
Yeah. Who did that illustration? Do you even remember?
I think it was Trewin.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's the pre-origin. And we actually kept that artwork for like 8 years up until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We just switched it.
Way, way, way too long. All right. I also wanted to talk about the running bits that began with episode one. Episode one had our first
episode one
origin story for our running bits. But let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors, come back and answer questions, maybe on the other side of these messages. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Hey, okay. Do you remember the bit that we made in episode one?
I believe it was killing yourself at a Starbucks.
That's correct. Do you remember the questions that were submitted for that episode?
So we've discussed this before, but I do remember that we made them all up.
That's what I want to get to.
Okay.
We couldn't answer questions that were submitted because the podcast didn't exist yet. So we just fabricated three questions to answer. One of them let us down a bit, where a guy was either threatening to, or we suggested that he should threaten to kill himself in a Starbucks. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I don't remember which question that was.
I don't remember either.
There was something about, like, my boss is taking me to dinner and I don't have the money and I want to, but I feel bad asking him to split or something like that.
Yeah, I should say that none of the other questions since then have been fake. So while we are copping to that, everything else has been 100% real. But the killing yourself in a Starbucks was a running bit that we did for like the first few months of the show.
Yeah, and people still reference it when they're like out of options. They're like, should I try this, or should I kill myself in a Starbucks? The answer is never that, obviously.
And then a little bit after that was Seize the Cheese, which came up either in that episode or like the first few episodes as well.
Yeah, I feel like Seize the Cheese was later on. It was definitely not the first episode because we wouldn't have been able to come up with that question. It was like the guy whose friend's dad was trying to take him to a car show. But he was like, shouldn't I go with my dad or something like that?
Yeah, seize the car, a police seizure auction, and then we referenced seizing the cheese in a way.
I thought the seize the cheese was his own thing. Or did you, maybe it was, no, yeah, you just, it was a something you did about grabbing nacho cheese.
Yeah, our fans are chiming in the chat saying that the Seize the Cheese was the name of the episode. And then another earlier runner, which was the Yo Do You, which you would say as Yoda or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The Yo Do You was kind of a Drake impression that I did way back.
Yes,
then.
That's what it was.
Yo Do You.
Yeah, wasn't that a shirt at some point, too?
I don't know if we ever made it a shirt because I don't think we ever knew if it was You Do You or Yo Do You.
Right.
Hashtag dope was a shirt. That was something I used to say for a while.
We're getting all these great bits that we forgot about. Tom Fletcher weighs in with Surge Dude.
Yeah.
Remember that one from maybe Surge year Dude. 3 or 4?
And Crowbar 5555 with the Kanye. Shout out to, I mean, it was Kanye, but really it was Dave Rosenberg was the reason I did that bit all the time.
Yeah, you impersonating Kanye was a bit that we kept alive for weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. Surge Dude being a real guy that we met named Surge.
Yep. Surge.
But the bit was that his friend was, I guess him and Serge were 4-year-olds and they wanted to just sort of hang out. Yeah. They talk cool, but they do kindergartner stuff.
Yeah. I want to do a coloring book with you, man.
Yeah. Let's play fucking Guess Who, dude. Just me and you, Serge. Raven's Nest. People are bringing up.
Chorty
which
Steps
is based on a real book, a real house that we found.
Yeah, it was a real house. It's funny because we were doing this bit for such a long time, just you and I. Like, I think we eventually like put this in Lonely and Horny too. Like, we called this house Shangri-La meets La La Land, Nirvana, Utopia.
A house so good, we don't even deserve to live in it.
Yeah. And we changed, but we were like, we were laughing so much doing this bit. We're like, well, we want to put it on the show, but there was a time that we actually thought we might live there, or at the very least, it's like it's in our neighborhood. So we changed the name to Raven's Nest. But do you remember the actual name of the street?
Yes, it was in Los Feliz. The street was called Einverness.
Yes,
which already sounds very mythical and cool.
Yeah, we would raise a glass to Einverness.
The house was like $10,000-$15,000 a month. Like, it was like a 4-bedroom modern mansion with a pool, like floor to ceiling glass amenities. Everything was super nice. We could not afford it, and we didn't live there.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Furr.
Nor should we have lived there.
Jake's dad is a gourd. My dad's been the butt of many jokes, and as is my mom. My mom is an angel. My dad is a gremlin. That for sure. I like my dad's money.
Yes, mom, turn off the podcast. Mom, turn off the Zainish. Podcast. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
That was a classic one. John Wolfe, who another one is based on reality, but he's just a really nice guy. But we joked about this idea of a guy, John Wolfe, who would troll society like the Joker to the point. Do you remember the point where he used to introduce himself in crowded bars as Glocal? Because it makes no sense and it's hard to hear and nobody would believe that
that
was
people uncomfortable. It's a needling little dickling thing to do.
Introduces his name.
It makes people feel weird. Why would he do that? Well, that's why. That's why he would do that.
It's not like illegal, I guess. It's just weird, sort of morally questionable behavior. Yeah. Kobe, RIP, before he passed away, was a running gag was him being in the corner of all of our podcasts, but being too shy to talk.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
And then Matt Damon, of course. I think that one might have lasted longer than most.
Yeah, almost as long as the Golden Mic.
Actually, Damon's back in the news. I don't know if you've been seeing more of Damon, but now that Damon has resurfaced, I think somebody sent me a tweet that he did The Hot Ones, the show where you try to answer questions while being too sweaty and spiced out from spicy chicken
and that's wings. Basically, we're just like, Matt Damon doesn't get flustered. So if he does, yeah that's going to come our way.
Do you think Matt Damon like sweats from eating something too spicy and he's like, oh God, this is really, really spicy. I can't enjoy this meal. Like, that would never happen to Damon.
Right, unless he did it on purpose, in which case, yeah.
And then what was the most recent one was, of course, the Golden Mic one.
Yeah, which, long running.
Yeah, now that it's episode 500, should we say that we both have won one at this point? Like, sort of call an end to the...
It's a monumental episode number, but it's actually... This is only my 499th Golden Mic, because I wasn't able to do one episode of the podcast. So I haven't won every single Golden Mic. So it's not that much of a milestone, is all I'm saying. I already won the Golden Mic this episode, because we sort of proved that I had the idea for If I Were You. And the name. So it's kind of like, how on earth would you get that? You tried to name the podcast, What Would Mises Do? So that's the turdy for you.
That's a joke. People are chiming in the chat. Yeah.
People, yeah. I mean, I don't even, it's cool to see it in the chat. Wow. I don't even get to, man, let me.
We can almost do this every week.
Oh, I mean, Queso Caso actually.
Infuses new life.
Yeah. Queso, that's correct. Ben Schwartz has won too. So, my unprecedented run and dominance has not been solidified yet. Maybe at 500, I hang up the mantle. I hang up the crown. I rest on my laurels. But today, I humbly and happily accept the 498th Golden Mic, and I appreciate it. I'm chuffed, cheesed, honored, and humbled by your generosity. It's really cool to see it here.
Generous. I haven't said anything. I've asked for. They're not being generous. They're fucking.
Tom Anning says this is only the beginning, and I fucking respect that. Popcorn says congrats, Jake. Just really, really cool stuff.
Why are you taking? You're taking
McMuffin, so Jake, our humble king. Jesus Christ! I feel like a tear's coming to my goddamn eye.
Why?
Because it means a lot to me. Because it means a lot to me. And it obviously means jack shit to you, but why would it? Because you only have 500 fucking turdies. Because you're a joke. All right.
People are referencing Gautier and I being elementary school friends, which is also a solid bit from back in the day.
That was a bit that was entirely on like your own, too. I think just one day you said it. There are some bits that you and I talk about, like, especially when we were living together, we would often like do bits just in
like
the house.
Nest.
Yeah. And then they would make their way to the podcast. But Gautier was one that surprised me even at the time, even though you were my roommate.
The joke being that in fifth grade, I was sort of best friends with Gautier. Yeah. So he and I attended the same, I guess, Jewish middle school, for lack of a better term. And it was me, Gautier, and a few other friends, and I would just sort of hang out with Gautier. Yeah,
Gautier, Rami, sure. Ofer. Actually, it does kind of make sense. All of your friends, kind of like, yeah. There's Ofer could also be a big musician just based on the name.
So they all have uniquely Jewish names, and Gautier could be one of them. And it was just me and Gautier playing NBA Jam until all hours of the night. the pinch, of course. How can we forget the pinch?
Yeah, that was a fun one where I think we just picked up an episode by introducing ourselves as Vance and the Pinch. Made a joke about how it should stick, and then Vance didn't, but the Pinch did.
The Pinch being, of course, a crab that you would also become sort of during live shows.
Right. So I would come out during live shows and I would yell, "Hah, and then do the pinching with my hands.
We did so many live shows, like at year like 3, 4, 5, I feel like we must have done like 50, 60, 70 live shows all around the world.
Yeah, man, there's so many fucking shows.
What was our first live show? Was it in Brooklyn?
It was in Brooklyn. The
podcast?
It was in Brooklyn. It was at Littlefield. And I remember specifically being backstage and like you, Streeter, our manager, Brian, and Andrew, everyone was just like mystified at how honest I was on the podcast. I was like,
because
I was single and insane. Yeah.
Yeah. You would admit to it, mm-hmm. Which was sort of the theme of the first 100 or so episodes.
Right. And once we lived in LA, I was like, I basically had, I think that was when I started dating Jill. Like the last year of the show, or the last, in like 20, I don't even know like when we announced that I was getting married, but that was like when people found, that's what, like when a lot of people found out that I wasn't single anymore.
Yeah, that had to be like a bombshell that we dropped, right?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Some people asking for the virginity story. Do you want to own up to that, or do you want to sort of leave it be?
Well, I can tell everybody that the story that I told on the road is false.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not.
Wow.
I mean, if you saw the show, I think it's a good thing. I think anybody that saw the show would know that it's a good thing that that's not a real story. So
what's the real story there? No, we don't have to get into the real story, but yeah. People wanted to hear your virginity story. You made one up one time.
Right.
We came up with it together.
I don't know why this happened, but people wanted me to tell my virginity story. The chat is going off saying that this is a turdy. Yeah.
Does that mean I get the mic?
Well, it's too late. I can't win the turdy. I'm protected by winning the golden mic this episode, but I respect everybody's don't dab, because people listening to this at home aren't going to understand what was happening. Amir was waddling around the room dabbing.
Waddling. Okay, yeah. So we wanted to come up with a funny, entertaining virginity story that wouldn't get anybody in trouble, right. Mm-hmm. But you can tell in public. And you always swore to the audience the secrecy because we wouldn't record it or release it.
Yes, because I have no idea like why this story took on like a life of its own. Then it got too big for me. It's my prank wars. This is
yes, exactly. It's mythical proportions.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell what the story was that we told people that it was?
I don't know. It's so uncomfortable.
Basically, you sleeping with someone that then became part of your family later on.
Yeah. The idea was that my uncle paid someone for sex to take my virginity when I was young, and then he fell in love with that person, eventually married them. And
great story, by the way.
The punchline,
as far as stories, if that were true, that would be a great story.
The punchline of the story always was just like people were aghast and aghast, applauding, excited, horrified, because I would just be like, the short story is I fucked my aunt, and then everybody fucking applauded that for some reason.
It was great to build in an applause break within the show itself.
It was really fun. It was fun to tell that story in its heyday. In the last couple of years, telling that story, anyone can understand why, and they can imagine that I got less and less comfortable telling that story over time, and people would always kind of chant until I did. So I had to, but I didn't like it. So I'm glad that I can retire it now.
It's good. It's nice to put an end in it on episode 500.
My aunts, multiple aunts of mine, came to the show where I had to tell that story.
Yeah.
And I had to warn them up top. Multiple cousins of mine came to the show where I had to be like, this story is not about your mom or dad. It's not my real uncle. The story's made up.
Yeah.
And then I also mentioned that Jon Snow fucks Daenerys in Game of Thrones, who is his aunt. So I think George R. R. Martin and I are two of the greatest storytellers of all time.
I mean, we don't do stand-up, but like that joke is basically the equivalent of like we crafted a joke that we told every night, and it did well every night. It's like coming up with, I guess, a really good bit. But the difference is we kind of cheated because we were able to convince people it was true. So that's part of the shock value. And it wasn't necessarily a joke that we came up with from scratch. But,
but you know, telling that story to that packed tent in Dublin, that's one of the highlights of my life, I think. So I'll always have that. Telling that story. Oh, man, and the fucking... what was the name of the theater that we did in Sydney? The Metro? The Sydney Metro?
Yeah, it was like 1,200 people there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was fucking incredible.
That was insane. I was also almost 1,200 people watching this one right now. So if you think about it, full circle a little bit.
Very cool.
Another running bit, which we can bring back for the third act of this podcast, is the Game Boy. I don't quite remember the origin of the Game Boy, but maybe when we come back after these messages, we can play a little Game Boy.
Oh,
nice.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back. We should say that we're going to try to answer some questions from the people in the chat. So if you have any questions there, we can play the Game Boy. And also, we should say that Jake and Amir is coming back, our first new episode. We shot three new episodes, the first of which is releasing, I guess, as soon as this is done. I'll put it on our YouTube.
We're going to throw it up. We're going to throw it up. I want to clarify one thing on our first Jake and Amir, actually, because this is a good chance.
Oh, okay.
We basically, the first episode back, we were like, let's see.
We were high. We were so high. We didn't know what to do. We were being random.
We thought we could do it ourselves. We were like, we're doing a quick cuts thing. The iPhone cameras are nice. That's what we film Patreon on. We'll use like, we have nice microphones. Let's film it ourselves and we'll get good sound. I don't think it looks as good we filmed three total, but two of them we used nice cameras. We like rented good equipment.
And I see.
So I just want to tell, I don't want anybody to think that this is the first one is the quality, at least video wise going forward. Comedy wise, yes. Comedy wise, yes.
Was it that much work? It was still better than what, half Jake and Amir videos, right? Just because iPhones are a lot better than anything we shot on for the first 500 episodes.
Video quality wise, it's better than anything we shot in Park Avenue, let's say.
Yeah.
And it is one of the stuff from IAC.
Also, it's one of those classic episodes that the outtakes might be funnier than the actual video, which we're putting on our Patreon. So episode for free on YouTube. It's a quick cuts one. And then the outtakes we're putting on our Patreon. So hopefully everyone gets to enjoy that.
That's right.
All right. Game Boy is a game we invented when we couldn't come up with, or we couldn't find enough questions to answer. So let's come up with like some phrases to search in our Gmail inbox and see if we can answer some randomly.
Yeah, it was something that we actually used to do sometimes before like live shows, because it was tedious to just like go through question by question looking for good ones. And we always wanted like the best possible questions for live shows. So we would search words that were funny. Like one time I searched diaper and it gave us a lot of like good questions. So it was just something that we would do sometimes when we were trying to zero in on like a funnier, unique question.
Correct.
And then I think we decided to play it one day when neither of us had found questions for the episode. We're like, let's just do it live.
All right. So I don't know. Do you remember the origin of actually becoming a half man, half Game Boy?
No.
Who sort of orgasms?
Every time he hears the word game? No, that happens slowly over time. I don't think there is like a moment where it happened.
How about we get some Game Boy suggestions from the audience here?
I like that. I also want to shout out Michael Trainer for saying that you look like Leo Messi, which is something I've been saying for a long time.
Yeah, my dad has been beating that drum for a while too. He wants me to like either dress up as him for Halloween, just sort of get tattoos like that. Anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of cool because he's the GOAT, but he's also just like a 5'7" sort of normal looking dude. So it's not like I look like Ronaldo, but he is a very talented athlete. So that's also cool.
True.
People like me are not used to looking like great athletes, so I'll sort of take what we can get.
Ooh, I like this Johanna's suggestion of seaweed.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, I'm searching seaweed in our
April
email.
Hill also has egg, which could be good if you spell it wrong, like April keeps on doing, with multiple G's.
Who suggested seaweed?
Johanna, I think.
She fucking hole-in-one. Not only is it a oneer, but it's a question, and there's no other spam involved. It's a true Game Boy victory in one.
You won the game. Oh.
And if it's like, if it's an actual good question, then she'll forget this is it. The equivalent of a perfect game, not just forget a no-hitter. Insane. Absolutely insane. Johanna is the Game Boy.
Johanna Montima. So,
This is an email from December 17th, 2014, the only one in our inbox of thousands of emails that uses the word seaweed. And it's
December
short and sweet.
2014.
I can't stress how much this person nailed it.
Wow, it's so early in.
Let's give him a fake name. How about we call this person Johanna, who wrote this, who suggested it, right?
All right, yeah.
Johanna writes, working at Subway, first day on the job, the door opens. My first customer, a very small Korean girl, comes up to the register. All right, this might be a joke. I'd like a foot-long cock sandwich, shitlord, she says. I don't know how to respond, so I got the bread out. See, this is the problem with Game Boy. You sort of go in blind. And sometimes people are sort of like...
This is not on Johanna, though. This is,
No.
Okay, yeah. They did win.
It's a no-hitter, but it's not a perfect game. Yeah. This isn't a true question. At one point, this person yells and says, put some fucking mayo and don't forget the seaweed, she shouted. Should I quit because of this? Yeah, I don't think this is a true question. I don't think this is a real question. And this is actually a good peek behind the curtain. A lot of the questions we get are people trying to be funny.
Right. And we are usually pretty good about, knowing that.
Johanna wrote this. Wow, can you imagine that? A fucking double agent wrote an email
of global
in 2014. Why would this person do it? It's just an absolute John Wolfe thing to do.
Yeah, it's not illegal.
Turdy for Johanna. You gotta hate to see it, but I really think it is a turdy.
No, you tried to... Johanna won the game. That's a turdy for you. Your second turdy of the episode.
Is there another one or another question from the chat that you've been seeing?
Somebody said search turbo. Turbo.
Wow. Turbo.
Feels Thomas like there'd Richardson be a lot. Says, it's two words, but iron lung, which is pretty funny.
I'll search turbo first.
All right.
Well, turbo's pretty good. There's five.
Okay. Not bad. Any unread?
Yeah. One unread.
Okay.
And it is for a George Foreman grill.
Huh?
Yeah, it's just an ad. That's what I see.
Okay, so are they all ads?
No, four of them are real questions. One of them is an ad.
Give me the subject lines.
What is the sexiest Slayer mobile a cowboy can roll hard in?
Are you sure that's a question?
What's the sexiest Slayer mobile a cowboy can roll hard in? Yes.
They're asking for like car buying advice?
Perhaps. Should I read it?
Yeah.
Hey, Turbo Virgins.
Nice.
Which, by the way, is not even true.
Yeah. I fucked my aunt, actually. I'll have you know.
I'm John a cowboy Snow dumbass. Style. I'm a cowboy dumbass 15 kid shit-ass year old with an ace in the hole to make me not die alone like a diva roach. I live on a ranch in the middle of the country. I go to high school on the West Coast. And in that, the age, in that, the age, and at the age of 17 or something dumb. So that means this coming summer, I'm going to get fucking wheels. Seems like there's some words missing here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to buy a car and drive it across the mountains before the school year. Then hopefully I can get me this coastal dime I fucking fell for by accident. But here's the question. What is the hottest car/truck I can get without spending way too much? So weirdly written question, but he's basically asking, what's the coolest car you can get for $23,000?
I like that. I think it's a little pickup truck. But I'm biased because that's what I had for a long time.
How much was your pickup truck when you bought it?
$10,000.
And you bought it when you moved to LA originally, like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I bought it in 2012.
And you bought, it was a 10-year-old car at the time.
Yeah, it was it's a 2001, so it was an 11-year-old car, Toyota Tacoma, 4Runner, not 4Runner, sorry, pre-runner, V6, rear-wheel drive.
You go to a used car salesman, or?
Yeah, yeah. I think I went to like
a guy on Craigslist.
I know, it was autotrader.com. I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted a Tacoma.
And did you have a price in mind, or were you like, 10,000 is my upper limit, I'll take it?
10,000 was the tops. I wanted to spend $8,000, but I went big because I had to, because I had the pre-runner of my dreams.
And how many miles did that car come in, do you remember? And then how many have you added since?
100,000 miles on that car when I bought it, but Toyotas, they'll run forever. There's 190,000 on it now. So
wow.
I put about 90,000 on it.
So it's almost like the person who had it before you had it for just as long as you have it now and put roughly as many miles as you did. But you also drove around the country like 3 times. So that's a lot of miles that he put on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I drove it across the country twice, maybe at least twice. Yeah. Twice. Fuck. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Legit.
Congratulations. And then you still have that car, or you sold it for $2,000?
I actually, this past Christmas, I gave it to my sister.
Oh, that's nice.
As a little Christmas gift. So,
what'd you charge her for it?
$12,000. So I made about two.
You cannot make a profit. You profited off your sister.
Toyota's a car. It's a car that'll appreciate over time, especially a Tacoma. Especially a Tacoma.
And people
people like that Tacoma profile.
Yeah. Yeah, you also sort of ran it into the ground, and then sort of you had to push it towards her house the last mile, and then you charged $12,000 for it.
Yeah, it's $12,000 just to get it up and running.
We're getting some more Game Boy suggestions. Any one of these catch your fancy? We got conditioner. We got Fugazi olives.
I like Fugazi. I think, but I do think that Iron Lung is pretty choice, and I don't think you put that one in yet.
No, I did not. This is a long shot. Iron Lung?
Of course.
Yeah, nothing.
How about iron?
Just iron?
How about lung?
Lung is pretty good. Let's see.
Hell, how about lung?
Lung is 32.
Too many.
Too many. Iron is 41. Also too many.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quiche, that's a pretty good one.
Quiche is not bad. Conditioner I like because of its resemblance to semen. And I feel like...
Conditioner has 5.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. They're all pretty long, though.
Oh, all right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we're not going to... That's another problem. You find the questions, they're like 8 minutes long to read them. No one's going to get to the other side of that.
Conspirator is pretty solid.
Conspirator?
Yeah. So I like the energy that's in that word.
Conspirator. Wow, 3.
Nice.
So now you guys can sort of tell how insane it was that somebody had one.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has been labeled questions to answer.
Interesting. I wonder if we did.
It was written in February of this year.
So maybe we'll remember it.
Yeah, I'm a 22-year-old. Wait, who suggested conspirator?
Oh, God damn it.
It's okay.
Let's see. No, I'm not going to be able to find it.
All right. If you did, read it again so we could see it. I'm a 22-year-old student from Ireland currently laying low in the Netherlands, and I found myself in a quandary. I recently started seeing a nice guy, but coming off the back of a wacky relationship last year. I've been taking things slow. He's an artist and a little unconventional. He oils his hair and burns sage after sex, so there's been no pressure from his side to make things committed. However, today he dropped the I love you bomb. Now, this in and of itself is fine. I really like him too. But my quagmire stems from the fact that we were sporadically first seeing each other. I somehow found myself a co-conspirator in a rather raunchy sexting relationship with a 31-year-old man from Israel that I met in a Facebook meme group.
Toda.
We actually have a very sweet thing going, and he wants me to come over to him when I graduate. Oy gewalt, says I. So do I drop this unsheathed mensch to blue ball in the Holy Land and focus on my real-life man I'm boinking, even though I know it's unlikely never to amount to anything? Or do I throw caution to the wind and put my fingers in as many pies as I like? Am I weird for this? Toda rabah. P.S. Been listening to you guys since day one. All right. Shout out. This was a great email.
Yeah. Also, Kevin Levy wrote Crandus, which is another great bit that I didn't mention. Every single live show, we would ask for a name from the audience. I think based on the first live show, or at least a very early live show, where someone yelled Crandus as a name suggestion. That was always the first name that we picked everywhere we went, and Crandus was a crazy person that went to every single show. Anyhow, this person, neither relationship is serious enough right now to call anything off, right? You can just...
Well, one of them said, I love you. So I don't think you can go from I love you to I love you to I'm going to go to Israel for a second and boink this guy I met in a Facebook meme group.
Yeah. No, yeah. You got to...
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Break it off with the guy that said, I love you.
Yeah. If you want to be with the 31-year-old Israeli, there's also a chance you'll meet the 31-year-old Israeli and be like, oh, this probably wasn't worth breaking. Because the idea of somebody is always better than the actual person you meet.
Correct.
Everybody's hot in the story.
Yeah, but I feel like this has it's the vibe of like, I want to go travel to Israel. I want to go and like do exotic, hot things. So it's not just about this Israeli guy. It's about just like the notion in general that you're not trying to be tied down right now. So for that reason, you are out.
Who, me? You think I'm the 31-year-old Israeli? That's absurd.
No, you're 50.
All right. I'm actually not 50.
How old are you?
I'm 38. You just turned 36. And you're a piece of shit for thinking that I'm older, that much older than you.
You are older than me.
I am older. I am older, but not by that much.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. Cool. Thanks for, thanks for everybody suggesting those Game Boy questions. Words,
loved
I should
it.
Say.
Absolutely loved it.
I kind of like this. We should do this once a month. I don't know. Once every other month. It infuses a breath of fresh air to the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I hope other people like it because I had a good time.
And it's just as easy as this might as well be over Zoom, but instead it's just over StreamYard and we could put it on our YouTube.
Seems like there's no lag. It's pretty fast. It's definitely as fast as Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right. Sweet. I'm going to get to editing this, and then we're going to post the Jake and Amir episode.
Wait, when are we going to do that? When are we posting this Jake and Amir episode?
I have to log into the back end, maybe like set it to debut in half an hour, and then people can like watch it together.
Sweet. Well, everyone go watch it. Share it. Thank you for your support from our day ones.
That's right.
Fucking day ones in 500 here. Episodes. I guess technically 498, 497 for me, but...
Because there were some episodes you weren't even in, and by the way, I did not get the special award for funniest person.
Yeah, because I mean that's like fucking stolen valor. You like did an episode with Riley and Jeff that I didn't even know was happening.
You were busy that week, so we filled in for you.
No, yeah, didn't.
And then one week you were sick, and I recorded with Ben.
Yeah, and
those are really nice things that I.
Yeah,
you get stolen valor.
Yeah, it's stolen valor. You don't get an award when there's no competition. That's not right. You're fucking. I don't think it's tacky. Yeah, frankly, it's tacky.
All right, sweet. Thanks for listening. We'll be back probably on Thursday. Another testing Thursday. Enjoy that. Enjoy the new Jake and Amir episode. outtakes again on Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Hell yeah.
Ciao, everybody. Thanks for watching. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.